Well, today is Father's Day, and we're just glad that all you guys are here with us. And we want to welcome all the men this morning on this special day. Whether you're a father or not, when you leave today, we have a special gift for you. As you walk out the door, you get a nice pen and a devotional book, and it's called Shaped to Serve. Because we believe, gentlemen, that you were created in God's image. And Jesus said, I came not to be served, but to serve. And the most powerful men among us are those who know how to serve. And so we want you to take that with you, and may it be a reminder to you. Now, I don't know about you, but on Father's Day, I know for many of us, there's a diversity of feelings. Is that right? Different perspectives, depending on how you were raised, where you came from. And I'd like to begin this morning by recognizing some of these perspectives with the help of this little video. Brother, if you can play that for us.
Today is a special day, and it's bigger than we think. Because there are many different kinds of fathers, and they all need to be recognized and honored today. Today, we honor those fathers who consistently strive to balance loving their wives and children with being good, godly workers at their jobs. May you feel the pleasure of God. Today, we honor those dads who had poor fathers themselves, but who have committed never to become the father they grew up under. May your children continue to be guarded from any of the hurt you carry. Today, we honor the fathers who are older and who no longer have day-to-day obligations to their own children. May the family gatherings this weekend make you feel like you could do it all over again. Today, we honor the adult children of fathers who were absent. May the God of the fatherless become your father in ways you've only dreamed of. And may you believe with your whole heart that his leaving wasn't your fault. Today, we honor men who have no children of their own, but who father younger men as mentors and guides. May you see your important roles as impacting and life-changing. And finally, today, we honor fathers who have passed away. May their good deeds live on through you, and may their careless deeds be corrected in your lifetime. Today is a special day. So for all the fathers we mentioned, and even those we didn't, be honored, be blessed, and be joyful. We believe that you have what it takes to change the world, and you're doing it one relationship at a time. Happy Father's Day.
If you're like me watching that video, you probably identify with some of those perspectives, don't you? I know I do, with several, not just one. And I believe this morning that the message I'm about to give to you is really for everyone. But I especially want to address men today. But I know there are women in our congregation who are raising children by themselves. And these principles will be powerful for you as well. I know my mom raised five children without a father. Our father left us when we were very young. In fact, I didn't like going to church on Father's Day because I knew what was going to happen. They were going to honor dads, and I didn't have one. Anybody here like that today? In fact, I used to call my mom on Father's Day. I'd always send her a Father's Day card because she was my mom and my father. And as you know, my relationship with my father was later restored very late in life, but still, there was always this empty place in me that only a father can fill. And so today, as we want to talk about traction. We've been talking about traction all year, and I want to talk to you about five powerful practices to find traction, not just in a father's life, but in all our lives, especially as parents. I think you've probably figured out by now, haven't you? The road is not always smooth. It's not always level. It's not always straight. And some places are more difficult than others to find traction and to be able to get to the places we need. But What I'm going to share with you today is five ways that I guarantee you will give you traction in your family as a parent, especially you guys. I want you to think of it in terms of shoes or boots that you might wear. If you've ever been hiking, you know you got to have the right shoes, right, to be able to have the traction that you need. And so this morning, I want you to lace up five shoes that I believe if you'll put them on, if you'll wear them every day, they will give you traction. Here's the first one. The first one is prayer, all right? Prayer. Number one, if you don't have traction in your life as a parent, especially as a father, this is the first place you want to look. Because God has given us the ability to approach the throne of God in prayer and to seek Him with all our hearts. Guys, if you're looking for traction in your life, this is where you start. You start right here. And there's three scriptures, quickly. Matthew 6, 5 through 13. Jesus was talking about prayer, and this is what He said. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. I know about in your home, but in my home, when we shut our bedroom door, everybody there, the kids know you don't just come into that. You got to. Why? Because that's an intimate place, isn't it? God is inviting you to an intimate place with Him. He wants you to come to a secret place, only you and Him. Fathers, men, listen, if you don't have traction in your life right now, look here, because this is the place that no one sees but you. It's that quiet time, we call it, or private devotions, or whatever you want to call it. This is an area of your life that will always give you traction. Whenever I'm losing traction, this is the first place I check. I look at my shoes. Do I have my prayer shoes on? Am I getting the traction that I need? He says, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. Therefore, pray. And He teaches them a prayer. Would you pray it with me? The prayer He taught His disciples to pray. Would you pray it with me? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. That came from the lips of Jesus. He said, when you pray. Now, He wasn't saying, mimic this prayer, pray these exact words. He said, this is how you pray. Our Father. Praying is an act of humility. Guys, what comes with humility? God gives grace to the humble. When we pray, we're saying, I can't, you can. And when we come in prayer, especially the secret prayer, the quiet prayer, we're not trying to impress anybody with our prayers. It is that secret prayer that's so powerful. Amen? Acts 10, 1 through 4. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. A devout man. Three things about him. He was a devout man, one who feared God with all his household, his whole family, who gave generously to the people and prayed to God always. About 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he saw clearly a vision of an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid. He said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Guys, there's no greater place of traction than when you realize you are connected to heaven. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth. It really reads, as it already is in heaven. We have to plug into God's plan as men. It's not us doing this thing. It's plugging into God and depending upon Him. 1 Peter 3:7-8. This is a powerful scripture. I would read it in context, ladies and gentlemen, husbands and wives. This is a powerful scripture. It talks about what to do when your husband's disobedient to the word, how to win him. But in this text, in verse 7, it says these words, "Husbands, likewise, also, dwell with your wives with understanding." Who here finds that a little difficult sometimes? Why is it? It's just as difficult for women to live with us in understanding because we're so different from one another. Amen? We're different. We're wired. We're equal but different. He says, give honor to the wife. Value her. Here's the part you ladies don't like, but it's because you don't understand it. Honor them as a weaker vessel. Wait a minute, I'm not weak. What are you talking about? So you're thinking of it in a totally different way than the writer was. A weaker vessel is a fragile vessel. It's a vessel like a fine piece of china. It's something that you protect and value. Men, that's what we're supposed to do. He says, treat them as a weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life. We're equal in the kingdom. But here comes the kicker. You ready for this? That your prayers may not be hindered. What's that doing there? Because there's a direct connection between prayer and your family relationship with your spouse, with your children. He goes on to say, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers. Any of you thought about loving your wife as your brother? I first read that and went, Theo, friendship, the city of brotherly love. We're supposed to be friends. How many of you would like that in your marriage, huh? Where's the friendship went? We're supposed to really like being around each other. Be tender-hearted, be courteous. Why? That your prayers may not be hindered. Some of you have lost traction in your prayer life because of your relationships. Don't ask me why it's this way, but God has tied them together. I remember the day my wife said to me, you know, honey, when you pray with me, it's one of the most intimate times that we have together. Really? Yeah. When you pray with me, I feel so close to you. Really? I like that. I want to be close to you. Let's pray some more. But listen to me. I wager in this church, 80% of you do not pray together in your homes. You don't pray. Husbands and wives don't pray. I remember asking an elder, not this elder board, but another elder board one. I said, how many of you pray with your wives on a regular basis? Why not? Here's why. Because it's uncomfortable. Because they know us for who we really are. My wife doesn't call me Pastor Joe. Remember what my wife said, when you see Pastor Joe in the pulpit on Sunday morning, that's the best he gets. Mm-hmm. Come on, you know it. This is the platform that we all have a platform persona, don't we? We watch television sometimes, and these TV evangelists, they fall into sin, and we go, how can it be? I said, well, do you know them? You don't know them. You don't know what's going on behind closed doors. You see the platform, but you don't see the intimacy of their family life. You don't know what's happening in their private life. See, and that's why your family does know. And so it's a little hard to put on the dog, isn't it? We can stand in church, oh, Lord, pray the old King James language, right? Lord Jesus, bless us, hallelujah, glory to God. You know, it doesn't work at home. How many times have I sat at the dinner table only to hear my kids, Dad, you said this from the pulpit. But this is what's true. Let's pray right now, right? Let's just pray. You know, it's because you have to be authentic in the family thing. And it's uncomfortable because we really know each other. But it's critical if you're going to have traction. If you're going to have traction, that's why the enemy fights so hard. He doesn't want us to put on these shoes. How about number two? How about this? How about the shoes of purity? Purity will give you traction. Let me tell you, guys, this is so important. 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee. I like that word. flee, run as fast as you can from sexual immorality. Don't walk away, run away from it. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. How about 1 Thessalonians 4:3 through 5? For this is the will of God. Are you ready? This is the will of God. Everybody wants to know what the will of God. Here it is. Your sanctification. Your sanctification. That you should abstain from sexual immorality. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. What's the biggest problem in purity with men today? Pornography. Pornography. I'm not going to have you raise your hand, but I'll lay odds. In this congregation, 75% of you look at pornography. And I'm here to tell you, you'll lose traction if you do it. God's calling you to sanctification and to purity. Now, before you get too hooty-dooty about it, Romans 3:23 is pretty clear. You can say it with me. You know it, don't you? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I don't care if you're in the moral majority, if you're on the left or the right, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So I can't look down my nose at you. Remember the sign I used to have in my office? Lord, help me to be patient with those who choose to sin differently than me. My sin looks worse on you than it does on me. We're so hypocritical about this. Sin is sin, folks. Sin is sin. I like what T.D. Jakes said. It really put it in perspective for me when he said, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's like two swimmers, and one can swim 10 miles and the other can swim 30. And the guy who can swim 30 miles, I'm pretty good compared to this guy who can swim 10. And they set off swimming on the boat because it's sinking. And they have to get to shore. And the guy who can swim 10 miles, they both start out really good. But after about 10 miles, that one guy falls away and he drowns. The other guy, he keeps going. He goes another 20 miles. He's doing good. Only one problem. They're 100 miles from shore. It doesn't matter. You will fall short. And we have this tendency to compare with one another our sins. But the reality is you can't make it to shore without God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God has made provision for us. 1 John 1:9 was written to Christians, not to heathens. If we confess our sins, he must have thought we would have to. He is faithful, he is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Guys, if you want traction in your life, you need to practice this. This is where you get it. You have unconfessed sin in your life? Go to God. He's going to forgive you. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And his word is not in us. So let's start by being honest. This ring I have on my finger is a ring of purity. It's there to remind me every day I'm a one-woman man. All right? But there are forces in this world that want to draw you away from that. And some of you have been victims to that. Some of you have broken my own mother and father. There was another woman that came into the picture, blew our family wide open. A lack of purity. Boy, did we lose traction. We got it back, but it was hard. And I'm here to tell you, God has a provision for us. He knows it. He knows our weakness. We cannot save ourselves. How about number three? Guys, if we're going to have traction, we need positive praise. Positive praise. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Let me tell you guys, your words are powerful. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Yeah, you're saved. I'm not questioning it. But your words, they're powerful. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Guys, we got a serious problem in our culture, and that is how men treat women. There's more abuse today that goes on in families and homes, and some of you have experienced it. Men, we are powerful and strong, and we excuse our anger, but God has not called you. You have been shaped to serve. You've been shaped to love your wife, to love your family, to love your children. And there are forces at work that are trying to grieve the Holy Spirit. And your words are so powerful. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate. Think on these things. We have a tendency. How many of you have a tendency to be negative? Let me tell you something, ladies. I'm going to give you a little secret that if you want to touch the heart of your man, be positive, praise him. See, some of us, we got a list of all things are wrong. And believe me, my list is pretty long. But I'll tell you what I respond to from my wife is when she praises me. When she praises me, man, I'm like a bee to honey. Yeah, I'm going to kick my game up a notch. Boy, honey, you did that so well. Oh, you think that's something? I'm going to do better. I'm going to do better. Our words are powerful. We need to be positive. We need to be positive with our children. Your words are powerful. Right over there on that little podium, and I can get more if you need them. I didn't put them in the back because I want you to have to come up front and get it after church. Here's a list of 20 things you can say to your children. 20 things. Moms, dads, all of you. Boy, we need to learn positive things you can say to them. Some of us were looking at this between service. Great job. Thank you for doing that. Way to go. I'm proud of you. You know, I talk to my son every week, and I never hang up the phone without saying, I love you, and I'm proud of you. Because here's the truth. For years, I never said that. For years, I never told him I was proud of him. My daughter, to this day, she lives for one thing. I want to hear Dad say he's proud of me. How many of you are still waiting for it? You know how powerful it is, don't you? Just to tell somebody how proud you are of them. You say, yeah, but. Get rid of the buts. Find the things that are worthy of praise and dwell on them. Focus on them. Fantastic. Thanks for obeying the first time. Amen. How many of you, I heard somebody say the other day, when it comes to discipline, we're not teaching our children fractions. You know how it works? Okay, on the count of three. One, two, two and a half, three. You know you do it, don't you? Don't teach them fractions, all right? Mean what you say, okay? Wow, you really rocked it. You know what? You are a great kid. I appreciate what you did. I'm praying for you. Look at what you've accomplished. What a great decision you made. Thanks for doing that before I even ask. See, in the home, we just say, well, this is expected of you. Really? Well, a little praise goes a long way. It'll give you traction in your relationships at home. Amen? Read through the list. Get a copy of it. We talked about this once before, promise keepers. A speaker once said, there are three things you need to say to your children as often as you can. Three simple things. It'll keep them from belonging to gangs. It'll keep your girls from getting into situations they shouldn't be in with guys. It's simply these three words, and they need to hear it often. One, I love you, you're wonderful, and you're mine. And they need to know that. You say, yeah, but would you stop that? Yeah, but. No. No matter where your child is right now, you love them, they're wonderful, and they're yours. And they need to know that, because if they don't know that, they're going to find somebody else who'll say that they're theirs. Guys, we need to touch our children. We talked today, what are hands for touching? A lot of young ladies that we've never been touched by their father in a proper way. Well, if you don't, somebody else will, but not in a proper way. They need to know they're loved, and we nurture them. We also need, our children need to see us praise God. Psalms 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. What's in your mouth? Curse words? Yeah. You hear little kids curse. Where'd you learn to do that? I heard Daddy say it. What if they could hear us praise God and mimic that? They will mimic you. They will copy you. I can remember my son walking beside me at the zoo once, and I spit on the ground. I looked out of my eye. There he was. He's spitting on the ground. I went, pretty good. So I started doing some other stuff, and he copied me. I thought, that's what they want to do. So let's give them something to copy. How about being positive and speaking praise? Do it. Don't be negative. Find the things that are worthy of praise. Here's number four quickly. This is important. Presence. Your presence. This is so important. It's called time. Now, I know people say, well, it's not quantity, it's quality. That's a lie. It's both. In fact, you can't have quality without quantity. And again, I'm guilty. I'm speaking to you as one who's not obtained the goal. So much of the early days of my fatherhood, I was busy in the church. I didn't give my kids time. They had to take second seat so many times. And it affected them. But praise God, we live life forward, but yet we understand it by looking backwards. But we're living it forwards. We can't do anything about the past, but we can live our lives now. Is that right? We need to have presence in our children's lives. If you're not there, if you're absent, then you're going to miss traction. Deuteronomy 6:7. This is the Shema. He says, "You will teach your children diligently. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house. The word, the law, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up." Please help me out here. How do you do that? You better be present. In fact, you can't do that unless you're present. Did you get all those? Yeah. When you sit down, when you come home from work, when you sit down, when you walk by the way. Hey, get away from me, kid. I don't have time. I'm tired. I put in a long day today. When you sit down, you talk to your children about these things. When you sit down, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Hello? It's about time. Spending time with your children. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. How many of you are ready to claim that promise? Say, it didn't work real good for me. Well, you don't understand the verse. It means to bring up a child according to his bent. How many of you have multiple children in your home and you figured out they're all different? And how did they get that way? They have the same parents. They live in the same house. They go through the same rules. Why are they different? Why aren't they like the same, like cloned? Because every child is different, and you as a parent need to find their bent. And when you find their bent, you help them along that road. And if you'll do that, they will not depart from it. Amen? They won't. And lastly, number 5, very important, Pentecost. Pentecost. I want you to know you can't do anything without the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And if you really want to kick your game up a notch, if you really want to find traction in your life, you won't be able to do it apart from Pentecost. In Acts 1, verse 5, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Wow. Why do you use the word baptized? Why don't you just say, hey, get the Holy Spirit? The baptism of the Holy Spirit. When you get water baptized in that baptismal up there, do you come out partially wet? You are wet down to your underpants, and you know it, right? You got water in your ears, in your nose, in other places. When you come out, you are totally saturated. Jesus is trying to tell us what's coming. The Holy Spirit's going to come. He's not going to sprinkle you. He's going to immerse you. He's going to baptize you. He's going to, every nook and cranny of your life is going to be affected. Why? Acts 1:8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." We're talking about power living. We're talking about power traction, and it's by the Holy Spirit. You say, "Pastor Joe, are you talking about speaking in tongues and stuff?" Four times in Scripture, we find tongues present when people were baptized in the Spirit. Other times, it wasn't. Speaking in tongues is not the baptism of the Spirit. It's a byproduct of the baptism of the Spirit. Be careful what we do. Doctrinally, we got all kinds of things floating out there. And I've experienced them all, believe me. Even preached a few of them. We get so hung up on tongues that we miss it. Don't miss it. Tongues are powerful. I pray in tongues every day. There's a prayer language God's given me, and it edifies me. It gives me traction in my life, especially when I feel myself slipping. I just pray in the Spirit. So I don't even know what I'm praying because I don't know what to pray, and the Holy Spirit prays through me, okay? But listen, be careful what you do with that because we start worshiping tongues. Don't worship doctrine. Don't worship doctrine. But open yourself up. Say, well, is tongues for everybody? Well, why not? Why would you not? Don't be afraid. Just because people do weird stuff doesn't mean you should walk away from things. I know there's weird stuff that happens in the church sometimes, but open yourself up. But tongues is not the end of all. Listen, there's so much in the Spirit just to be able to walk by the Spirit and live by the Spirit and have victory in the Spirit. How are we going to accomplish all these things we talked about? How are we going to pray? It's by the Spirit. How are we going to have purity? It's by the Spirit. How are we going to have positive praise? It's by the Spirit. How are we going to have presence in our children's lives? It's by the Spirit. Everything's by the Spirit. You can't do it by yourself. It's power living, power attraction, and God has promised this to us. Why? So we can have power. Why? So we can all sit around, hey, I'll pray in tongues, you pray in tongues. And say, oh, glory to God, oh, I'm spiritual and you're not. There's the have-nots and the haves. Get out of here. Stop it. That's not why the Holy Spirit came. Please, just open yourself. Let God put you down in the water of the Spirit and bring you up sopping wet with Him. And let Him affect, don't let Him affect every area of your life. Ephesians 5, 18 through 20. Do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How do you do that? By the Spirit. This was last week in staff meeting. Greg was sharing the scripture with us, and he shared it in a way I never had thought about before. Is it possible that you can read this two ways? That yes, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, so you do these things. That's how I've always interpreted it. But Greg laid another perspective on us. What if by doing these things, we are filled with the Spirit? What if by in worship, when we worship and make melody in our hearts, the Spirit of God automatically comes and fills us? What, think about it that way. Making melody in our hearts, giving thanks always, spiritual songs, psalms and hymns. I believe in worship, and have you ever sensed it? Have you ever felt it in the church where you're worshiping and also you just sense God's, is that the infilling of the Spirit? I think it can be. But the reality is, if you're going to have traction, it's going to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're trying to do this in your own power, in your own flesh, no wonder you're stuck. It's time not to be stuck anymore. And again, I don't care about the past. I'm worried about the future. There are four stages of parenting. We always leave it with you. When they're on Mother's Day, Father's Day, or Children's Sunday, and I want to see if you remember. Do you remember them? Four stages of parenting. The first one, discipline. Discipline. This is an important area in parenting. When children are little, we discipline them. There's an important word that children need to hear. It's called no. Some people say, well, I don't want to say no. Well, you better, because what you're doing is you're preparing your child for a world that doesn't exist. Because when they go out in the workplace, they're not going to treat them like mommy treated them. They need discipline. The scriptures tell us, raise up your child in the discipline of the Lord. Hebrews says, discipline your child. The Lord disciplines us. In fact, that's how He proves that He loves us. And those who are raised by discipline, He says, it's grievous for a moment, so it's not all fun and games, but those who are raised by it will yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. We need some discipline in our life. Benjamin, my phone's not working, so if you could go to the next one, training. Train up a child in the way he should go. What is training? It's repetition. You say, how many times do I have to tell you this? Jesus said to the disciples, what? How long do I have to be with you? He was training them, wasn't he? He said, Jesus, after the fifth time, I don't know if they're getting it. Keep saying it. Training, repetition. That's what we do. And thirdly, this is the most difficult that we talk about, coaching. This is the teenage years. There comes a time when you can't play the game anymore for your children. They play the game themselves. You sit on the sideline. You're on the bench. You're calling plays. You can call timeout. But you cannot play the game for them. Sometimes I want to grab parents by the back of the neck and pull them back on off the field because they run out to help their child. Leave them alone. Let them play the game. Yeah, but, you know, let them make mistakes. It's how they learn. It's part. But you've disciplined, you've trained, now let them play. You can't play the game. In fact, if you step on the field, what do they call that? It's a penalty. It's a foul. That's right. In fact, you'll lose the game for them if you do that. I know it's hard because you're sitting on the side and everything in you wants to get out there and do something. Everything. They're not doing it right. Yeah, I know. But just wait. Be patient. You've trained them. You've disciplined them. Pray. Go back to the traction. Pray. Keep your heart pure. Praise. Be positive. All right? Things will happen, I guarantee you. But do not step on the field. And lastly, the fourth level of parenting is friendship. You say, Pastor, you keep repeating this. Yeah, I'm going to keep repeating it till you get it. Because if you can understand this and discern these levels, it'll give you traction as a parent. Friendship. Friendship comes later. The problem we have is when we try to put friendship as number one. Friendship, People are trying to be friends instead of parents. I want to be your buddy. No, I want to be your parent because I need to train you and discipline. Jesus sometimes, I know the disciples thought, man, Jesus, you're being a little hard, aren't you? Aren't we buddies? Aren't we friends? Yeah, but I love you and I'm preparing you for something. But later you become friends. I love having coffee with my son every week. We talk man to man. We're friends. We're buddies. You know, it's different now. Yeah, but you had to wait for it. You know, it's the fruit of your labor. So wait for it. It's coming. Friendship. That's when you become a grandparent and get to. My kids always say, "Who are these people?" This is not the father and mother I grew up with. So that's right. Isn't that right, Cooper? Aren't you glad? Man, thank God. Thank God. Because we learned, didn't we? Well, this morning we're going to come to the table. It's time. At this table, this is the traction table. Prayer is made possible because of this table. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil was rent in two. What was that about? Come on in. You can come to me. You don't need a priest anymore. You can come yourself. I've opened the door for you. It's all because of this table. We have prayer. Purity is because of that table. How am I going to live a pure life? It's going to be by the power of living that God has put in me. Positive praise. It comes from this table. Your perspective on life changes because of what has been done for you. Presence. God's very presence. We reflect it in the presence of our children. And yes, Pentecost. Wouldn't have happened without this. Jesus said, I got to do this. Because wait till you see what's going to happen after this. The Holy Spirit's coming. He's going to dwell inside of you. And he's going to give you power. And you're going to be able to do all these things. Because I'm going to do it through you. You having trouble loving your wife, guys? Why don't you let God love her? He's real good at it. And you can become a glove on his hand. And he can touch her through you. Men, you are powerful. Your words are powerful. Your life is powerful. Let God. I know sometimes, I know Mother's Day, we're all sweet and kind. And Father's Day, we beat up on the dads, right? One little boy said, what's the difference in Mother's Day and Father's Day? Oh, they're about the same. We just spend more money on Mother's Day, right? Is that true? Let me tell you guys, you're important. Moms are important. Dads are important. Women, you are important. Men, you are important. And God's given, put something in you. And it's time to walk it out. Get the traction you need. I'm tired of being stuck. It's time to move forward. I'm going to do it. Life is short. If you haven't figured it out, you don't have a lot of time. If you lived to be 100 years old, would that be old? Hold your mother here. 97. Three more years. It's still short. Still short. It's nothing. It's a vapor. It's here and it's gone. Redeem your time. Get traction. Put on these shoes and you'll be amazed where God will take you. Father, we love you and we come to this table this morning. We dip this bread in the cup and we remember. This is a great mystery. Your presence is at this table. And we come as men. We come as fathers, we come as mothers. Lord, we come as your children, to you, our Father, who made this provision for us. Because it's at this table that the river flows. And it's from that river, Lord, we're going to make a difference in this world. Father, bless everyone here today. Fill them with your Spirit. Give them the power they need to live for you. No more excuses. We're ready to climb the mountain of this life. Give us the traction and footing that we need to accomplish it. In Jesus' name, amen.